Today is the solemnity of the most holy body and blood of Christ. Today we call Corpus Christi, and it's the third solemnity of these like three big summer solemnities at the end of the Easter season: Pentecost, Trinity Sunday, and today Corpus Christi. Today we give thanks to God for the greatest gift that he has given to us. That is the gift of the Eucharist. St. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, he relates this great gift. That the Lord Jesus, on the night he was handed over, took bread, and after he had given thanks, broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And in this act, our Lord transforms ordinary bread and ordinary wine into his very body and blood. A miracle that takes place at every Mass. Why? So that the Lord can remain with us. The greatness of this gift, the greatness of the gift of the Eucharist, was experienced in the life of a little known, he's becoming more known, Vietnamese priest who died in 2002. His name is Francis Xavier Nguyen Van Thuan. In 1975, Father Van Thuan, he was appointed bishop in Saigon just before Vietnam was taken over by the communist regime. Later that same year, Father Van Thuan, Bishop Van Thuan, was arrested for being a Catholic bishop, and he was put into prison for the next 13 years, spending 9 of those years in solitary confinement. When he was released from jail, the bishop was of strong health and he was of sound mind. In an interview, I think he was interviewed by Time magazine or one of the popular magazines, he was asked by the interviewer what was the secret to the source of his strength. What kept him from going insane, especially in those 9 years of solitary confinement? His answer was two words: the Eucharist. The day following his arrest in 1975, he was allowed to request some personal belongings. And so he wrote to the Catholic faithful back home. He wrote on a little note, he said, "Please send me a little wine as medicine for my stomach pain." The people knew exactly what he needed. And so a few days later, he received a small container labeled "Medicine for Stomach Ailments," which was wine, and another small container with small pieces of the hosts that we use for Mass. Bishop Van Thuan had the Mass memorized. And so he celebrated Mass by heart with a tiny piece of bread, 3 drops of wine, 1 drop of water placed in the palm of his hand. In the utter darkness and depravity of that communist jail, Jesus Christ became truly and substantially present in the palm of this priest's hand. He said that these were the most beautiful masses of his life. In a book he wrote after his release, Bishop Van Thuan, he wrote this, and I quote, he says, "At 9:30 p.m., we had to turn off the light. It was then that I would bend over the bed to celebrate Mass by heart. And I distributed communion by passing my hand under the mosquito net. We even made little bags with the aluminum foil from cigarette packs to preserve the Holy Host and to take it to others. The Eucharistic Jesus was always present in my shirt pocket." He continues, "At night, the prisoners would take turns for adoration. With his silent presence, the Eucharistic Jesus helped us in unimaginable ways. Many Christians return to a fervent faith life and their quiet display of service and love had an even greater impact on other prisoners. Even Buddhists and other non-Christians joined in the Catholic faith. Every day during the 9 years of his solitary confinement in this imprisoned bishop, he celebrated Mass. And every day as he sat in that dark, empty cell, he knew that he was not alone, because Jesus was there with him. My brothers and sisters, his heroism, the heroism of this great bishop, I think his cause for canonization is open. It's a testimony to us that the Eucharist is the very center of our lives. It's the very center of our faith. The Eucharist for us is more necessary for us than the food we eat or the air we breathe. More necessary for us for life. For us, the Eucharist is everything. But we must ask ourselves, is the Eucharist the center of my life? And so here are some practical things to reflect upon. How to make the Eucharist the very center of my life. The first thing is, how do I prepare for this Eucharist? Do I remind myself when I come to Sunday Mass, this most important event of our week, what is taking place here? That Jesus' sacrifice here on this altar, Jesus is offering his life to the Father for us when we come to Mass. Very practically, do I know that I should fast from food and drink for an hour before receiving Holy Communion? And the reason why we do this is so that our heart may hunger for the Lord. Maybe do I read the readings through the week? You know, that can be a wonderful preparation for our Sunday celebration of Mass is if we take time during the week just to look at and to read and to pray with the Sunday readings for the next Sunday. Perhaps most importantly, to ask myself, am I spiritually prepared each Sunday to receive Holy Communion? That is, am I properly disposed? Meaning, you know, am I conscious of any mortal sin that I need to confess? And we have to know that, you know, to receive Holy Communion in the state of mortal sin is the sin what we call sacrilege. Okay, so this comes from, you know, St. Paul teaches that those, when he's writing to the Corinthians, he says that those who eat and drink the Eucharist unworthily, that is in sin, eat and drink, he says, to their own condemnation, right? So we want to make sure that we are spiritually disposed and in a state of grace and able to receive our Lord each Sunday. Secondly, how do I participate in Mass so that the Eucharist is that center of my life? You know, because when we come to Mass, we're not called to be just kind of passive bystanders, just kind of watching things happen, but we are called to actively participate. And I think that our parish, that we do a pretty good job at this. Yes, we're called to, you know, say the responses and sing the hymns. Yeah, of course. Saying them with all of our heart. But you know what's even more important than this? Is to pray the Mass. Is to pray the Mass and to unite yourself to what's happening on this altar. Here's what I would encourage everyone to do. At the time of the offertory, right? What happens at the offertory? We bring up the gifts of bread and wine, and we also give the gift of our treasure, right? But perhaps more important than these is to ask yourselves, what do I have to offer to place on the altar? Perhaps my family, my job, intentions that I have. Maybe it's something, it's a temptation or a struggle. Bring everything that you have and everything that you are and place it here on the altar. Because you know what happens is that when I offer the bread and wine, when I consecrate the bread and wine into the body and blood of Jesus, when Jesus offers himself to the Father in this sacrifice, everything that's offered on this altar goes with that sacrifice. So if there is anything that you want to bring to God, this is the place to bring it. You bring it to the altar so that it can be offered to our Heavenly Father. So bring everything that you have, everything that you are. But I encourage you to think about that and to place it on the altar, especially at that time of the offertory. Another thing to think about is, how do I receive Holy Communion so that it is the center of my life? I know I'm going out on a limb here, but I would encourage you to consider receiving Holy Communion on the tongue. And here's why. First of all, communion in the hand, we've really only been doing it since 1969, okay? So we got about 50 years of this. But we have received Holy Communion on the tongue for hundreds of years. And so when we do that, when we receive Holy Communion on our tongue, something changes in us spiritually. Because the Eucharist, we recognize, is not something that we take, but it's something that we receive. And so just a little encouragement in that direction. And lastly, what do I do after receiving Holy Communion? What we do after Holy Communion tells us a lot, and I'll admit, you know, it was nice to have, you know, Father Red here, especially for a whole year, you know, to give him the opportunity to celebrate Sunday Mass. One of the difficult things was I was able to recognize, you know, people leave after Holy Communion. Many times, you know, okay, yeah, they're visitors, sure. Few times I would try and enter into conversation with them, right? And it was a sad, usually sad times. Because the way that we show Jesus that the Eucharist is the center of our life is what we do after receiving him. Did you know that when we receive the host, that the host is physically present with us, in us, for about 10 to 15 minutes after receiving Holy Communion? So the Eucharist is physically present, and it doesn't break down until about 10 or 15 minutes after. So the best time that we have to pray, could there be a more important time to pray and to bring everything that we need to bring to Jesus than right after receiving Holy Communion? And so it's so important for us to make that proper act of thanksgiving, to give him thanks for that greatest gift that he has given to us. When Bishop Van Tuan was asked what was the source of his strength, what kept him going, especially in the darkest moments of his life, his answer was two words: the Eucharist. May we, on this Feast of Corpus Christi, also be able to say the same. May it be so. Amen.